The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to St. Stephen's today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We have so much to be grateful for. Let's join together in the call to worship. In deep gratitude, we come to worship God. We recognize God as the source of all goodness. All good gifts come from the Spirit of God. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness are all of God. We come with grateful hearts, not for things, but for who God is. We gather to show our gratitude in song and prayer. And friends, if you have a Christ candle, let's light them together, recognizing in this season when light is starting to fail outside that Jesus is always our light and our center. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come before you today with grateful hearts, seeking your presence and guidance. As we gather in community, may your Spirit move among us, bringing healing, hope, and thanksgiving. Today, as we hear again of Jesus' healing through mercy and compassion, may we remember the importance of thankfulness and the transformative power of faith. And as we worship you, may we be open to the healing love of Christ and our hearts be filled with gratitude for the blessings we have received by your grace, inspiring us to reach out in kindness to those around us, just as Jesus did. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's come to God's throne of grace with grateful hearts and pray the prayer of confession together. Lord, forgive us if we take your blessings for granted. Give us thankful hearts that we may always turn to you with gratitude, for you are indeed the giver of every good gift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. To all who turn from sin in sorrow, to all who turn to God in hope, this is God's word of grace. We are accepted. We are forgiven. We are loved. This gift we have from God. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 17, and I'm reading verses 11 to 19. This is Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Happy Thanksgiving Sunday. This is a day that we pause to count our blessings, to remember that every good gift comes from God. But Thanksgiving is not just about listing what we have. It's about recognizing who gave it and responding with gratitude. In our gospel text today, we meet 10 men who were desperate, broken, and outcast. Yet in one encounter with Jesus, their lives were changed forever. Their story reminds us that the compassion of Jesus not only heals our wounds, but can also make us whole. Their story reminds us that no matter who we are, rich, poor, sophisticated or not, educated or not, whatever our race, the color of our skin, Jesus sees each one of us. He beholds each one of us. He sees not just our present in flesh and blood, but who we have become because of our past and ahead into all our possible futures. Hansen's disease is treatable these days, though in Jesus' time, leprosy, as it was then known, was greatly feared, and sufferers were banished from the loving touch of families, their homes, their community, their ability to make a living. Untouchable, hopeless. At times, they would band together in a sad little group of misery to support one another, keep each other safe. And it's here in the story that we still find Jesus today. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." As the writer Luke has pointed out before in his gospel, Jesus is so often found at the borders, the margins where pain and prejudice intersect. His compassion does not wait for us to clean ourselves up. He meets us right where we are. He sees where we've come from and the trauma we carry. And Jesus saw the 10 lepers. He saw the pain and the anguish they constantly lived with. Further in the reading we hear, "And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.'" Now, according to Mosaic law, it was a priest, not a physician, that had to declare a leper clean before they could rejoin society. The priest would verify that these lepers were healed, he would cleanse them ceremonially, and allow their social reintegration back into their families and communities. Think about it. You spend years in exile from everyone that you love, from all social contact. If you're lucky, your family come close to where you are to bring you food once in a while and a brief glimpse of humanity. Jesus restores the healed men to their families and communities. After all that time of being cut off, suddenly they're back. Imagine the complete joy, wonder, and gratitude everyone must have felt at the recognition of this healing miracle. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. The Samaritan in this story is referred to as a foreigner, and he is different from the others who we understand are Jewish. After his miraculous healing, this foreigner turned back with the benefit of much good teaching here at St. Stephen's. We understand this term to also mean repent. And so this man, formerly thought of as a heretic by the Jewish authorities of the time, is redirected in terms of his life and faith. Being overcome with gratitude, he turned around and came back to worship at Jesus' feet. His gratitude is primal. It is raw. It is his only possible response. The Samaritan recognized a gift that could only have come from God, and returned to the giver to express the most profound gratitude that he could. We go on in the reading. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This final admonition from Jesus suggests that something more comes to our Samaritan friend. The words, "your faith has made you well," can also be translated as, "your faith has saved you." He has been saved, in contrast to simply being cleansed and healed. He has met God in Jesus, his Savior, his Redeemer. In his returning to give thanks and praise to God, Luke gives the Samaritan extra kudos. Throughout his gospel, this gospel, praising, thanking, blessing, and glorifying God is a recurring theme, as in the relating of the stories of the shepherds who proclaimed the birth of Jesus, to Simeon and Anna, who praised God when the baby Jesus was presented at the temple, to witnesses of Jesus' miracles, to the centurion at the foot of Jesus' cross, and to the countless Jews and Gentiles who witnessed the growth of the church in the book of Acts. Luke points out through these stories that the most appropriate response to God's goodness, mercy, and grace is thanks and praise to God. There is much evidence to show that even on its own, Gratitude is a stress reliever. It has a positive effect on our immune system and makes us physically healthier. Healing restores the body, but gratitude restores the soul. We remember the Apostle Paul, who lived with a thorn in his flesh that he likened to a messenger of Satan. Sounds delightful, right? Asking the Lord 3 times to remove it. Eugene Peterson's translation of Jesus' response says, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." What if it's spiritual health rather than physical healing that God has for us? It's one of the great mysteries of God that some people are physically healed and some are not. Jesus had more than physical healing for these afflicted men in our story today. He has more than physical healing for you today. Soon after his conversion to Christianity, the theologian and author C.S. Lewis noted that the Bible, in particular the Psalms, encourage us to give God thanks and praise. He also saw the connection between gratitude and well-being, saying, "I noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised the least. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible." Healing restores the body, but gratitude restores the soul. This is what Jesus wants for us. It's what he wanted to give the 9 that kept on walking. After all, Jesus was sent to the Jewish people to reconcile them to God. Yet the 9 men kept on walking, running, maybe skipping to the priests. It was the Gentile, the foreigner, that came back. It was he who received the bigger gift initiated by his gratitude. Healing restores the body. Gratitude restores the soul. When we pray to God for healing for ourselves or a loved one or a complete stranger, we must remember that in being God, Jesus already knows and he sees the whole picture. He sees the whole you. He knows you. He sees you. He loves you. Yes, it's one of the mysteries of God that some will be healed and some will not. And sometimes, you know, this is a really hard concept to reconcile with a compassionate God. He has more. Jesus knows the brokenness, the damaged psyche, the trauma, the hurt that each one of us carries, either stuffed down deep inside or on the outside like some crusty, angry, cynical shell. Whatever its origin, whatever its name, he wants to heal that. He can and he will. Jesus has healing for each one of us when, like the Samaritan, we turn back to give him thanks and praise. We just need to recognize the need and turn back. But you say, what about me? Is my faith not enough? What about, why can't I be healed, or my spouse, or my child, or my grandchild? This is an age-old question, and one that has even driven some away from the faith when God hasn't performed his magic. When we dig into this kind of thinking, we find that this faith is transactional. If you do this for me, Jesus, then I'll believe, I'll trust, I'll have faith, I'll follow you. This is tough talk, a very tough concept, one that I have wrestled with personally, continue to wrestle with, and come back to often. Some folks tell of well-meaning Christian people saying something to the effect of, if you have more faith, you'll be healed. Faith is a gift from God. I do not profess to have all the answers. The only one I have is my own experience. It is in remembering and being grateful in remembering. I remember and I am grateful to the God of the universe, whose love is higher than the heavens, whose faithfulness reaches to the skies. That God loves me. That God loves you. I remember and I am grateful that I am a child of God, just as all believers are, that he has sent the Spirit of his Son to live in me. I remember and I am grateful that because I am his child, I can trust in him. I remember and I am grateful when he whispers to my heart, do not be afraid, I am with you. In praise and worship, acknowledging, celebrating, and giving gratitude is so very human. But if we don't worship God, we will worship something or someone else. Worship is at the very heart of the Christian life. And this story of the grateful Samaritan who turns back to Jesus to give thanks to him points us to God acting in our world, in our church, in our lives. In this, our souls find comfort, peace, healing, wholeness, and hope as we worship, praise, glorify, and magnify God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For this we can give thanks. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here with you this morning as we share some time in prayer with all of you and share this time with God. There's certainly no shortage of serious situations to pray about, whether it is wars, environmental disasters, or the actions of a few who do not understand what love means. But at the same time, there are limitless reasons to pray and to be thanking God for the many blessings we all have. So let us pray. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear us as we raise up to you the prayers of our hearts and souls in thanks for your blessings and for hope, peace, and joy, and for healing and forgiveness, and for understanding and for love. We are your people, and we thank you, God, for listening. Lord, we give you thanks for the many gifts and blessings that you have shared with us. You've been generous to all of us with your love and grace as we try to pass these gifts along to others in our community. We also want to express our appreciation, God, for your leadership and guidance as we are going through the process of transition into our new faith leadership here at St. Stephen's. Stay with us as we renew our ability to lead your church here in Oceanside. Most generous God, we pray for all of your children here in Oceanside and those spread out around your world, that they may live in your grace through this time of great change and turmoil. God, we ask that you share your grace abundantly with everyone who is suffering with turmoil and uncertainty in their lives. Lord, we raise up to you all of those who are hungry, living in poverty, in prison, or in poor health because of droughts, wildfires, wars, or selfishness, or simply age. They are vulnerable to those who are willing to take advantage of their situation or those who have deliberately caused the pain. We pray that you will help each of them to find sustenance for their bodies and peace for their minds as you share your grace with them. Healing God, we ask that you bring strength and healing to those individuals and families in our church family who are suffering with health issues, grief, and loneliness. And we ask that you stand beside them and let them feel your presence so they will know that they are not alone, that you are with them. God of creation, we give you thanks for the vast diversity and beauty that surrounds us where we live. The mountains and the rivers, the trees, wildflowers and fungus, and the birds and fish that surround us. Open our eyes so that we can see the connectedness that you built into your creation for us to enjoy and maintain. You have entrusted us to care for your creation. As we pray, there are wildfires burning, floods and droughts happening all over the world and right here at home. We pray that you bring these disasters under control and that all of those affected by weather chaos are kept out of harm's way and able to return to their homes safely. Lord, we pray that you empower everyone around the world to take the steps that are required to enable your garden to flourish once again. God of peace, we pray that you remind all of your children that Jesus challenged us to bear his cross of humility, nonviolence, truth, love, and forgiveness. God, we pray that you enter the souls of those who rise up against your children, the elderly and sick, and on people who are unable to fend for themselves. We pray that you will open their ears to hear Jesus' message of love your neighbor as yourself, and their hearts to love as Jesus loves, so that through this knowledge and union with you, they will want to bring peace to your people around and to the world. Lord, only the leaders who are causing the conflict can correct it. So it is urgent, Lord, that you enter their souls and show them that everyone is their neighbor and deserves to be safe and loved. Lord, we ask special prayers for those in senior leadership positions here in Canada and around the world who are constantly making difficult and important decisions that will affect your people and ministry here in Oceanside. Help them to be focused on your love. Lord, we are all anxious and concerned about what we see happening around the world and even in our own country, and we ask that you speak to each of us in a way that we can hear, so that we can be in communion with you and live as Jesus taught us to live as we struggle to make sense of it all. As we finish our prayers, let us pray as Jesus taught his followers to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, thank you for all the ways you give to the ministry and work of God here at St. Stephen's. None of it could happen without your support. I ask you now to pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week. Let's pray the offertory prayer. Gracious God, we bring our gifts today so that your church might be strengthened as it goes out into the world as your body to serve this present age. In your name, amen. Dear ones, as you go forth today, let us give thanks and glory to God. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen.
Well, with my soul.